Okay, turn in your Bibles today, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 35. 2 Chronicles, chapter 35. I want to preach this morning on a subject that all of us can certainly relate to. It's simply encouragement. I want us to look at one verse of Scripture and preach today on that subject, the subject of encouragement. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 35, but for the sake of understanding better, verse number 2, let me begin reading verse 1 and read verses 1 and 2 of 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Let me begin reading. The Bible says, "Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them," there's our word, "encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord." Let's pray. Our Father, this morning as we approach the throne of grace, we do so with thanksgiving, but we also do so with faith believing and trusting today that you'll meet with us and bless us today and meet needs. And now, Father, this morning, as it's the desire of this preacher to bring a message that would be an encouragement and encourage us all to be an encouragement even, I pray the Spirit of God today will work and bless and minister and lift up and help us this morning to leave this service better able to not only be encouraged ourselves, but to be an encouragement to others. Now, Father, bless the preaching of the Word of God, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject of an encouragement is a subject that gets all of our attention. We all today, being human, being in the flesh, and living in this world, need to be girded, undergirded, strengthened, encouraged, and lifted up and helped along the way. As we look at the context of this particular passage of Scripture, I would mention that Josiah is the king. Josiah was a good king. Josiah, along with Hezekiah, happened to be two of the best kings that the southern kingdom of Judah ever enjoyed. This was a good king. Josiah focuses his attention upon the sin of the land, and he cleans house. He gets rid of the idolatry. He does the right thing, and just like Hezekiah, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. In this passage of Scripture, we see him focusing on the sacrifice, for he kept the Passover. He made sure that they honored the Passover. Then he focuses upon the service of the priest. He had the temple repaired, and then he sought to encourage the priests in the work of the temple. We look at verse number 2, we can see that Josiah encouraged. He encouraged. Now today, I want to touch on that subject. I don't have any kind of a deep, dignified outline to offer. I just want to be very practical today. I don't know about you, but I need encouragement all the time. I don't know about you, but in this world that we're living in, with all of the pressures, with all of the things that we have to deal with, we need God to encourage us, to help us, to bless us. We need that, don't we? As we think this morning about the subject of encouragement, I would begin by simply mentioning this, the need of encouragement. Let's begin there, the need of encouragement. All here today need encouragement. We see here that encouragement has a particular relationship. You will notice that encouragement related to service. You will see there in verse number 2, he encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. So I think it's important this morning that we make the connection, that we understand that encouragement is related to service. Many times we don't look at it quite like that, do we? I just believe this morning that when it comes to encouragement, we've got to get our encouragement from God. I believe this morning that serving the Lord is one of the best ways to be encouraged. But now, we come back to this. Some people, from time to time, they'll say, I can't do anything. I can't do anything. Here's my question. Is it I can't do anything, or is it I won't do anything? Let's always make the distinction. But you know, serving the Lord is encouraging. We see here that the king encouraged the people in the service of the Lord. Now, what about those that are physically unable? Now, in our church, and in all churches, you've got people that can't do what they used to do. You've got people that have physical impairments. You've got people that are, for example, even now, we've got several shut-ins. We've got folks that can't be here this morning. We've got folks with a host of other physical problems. But now I've got something I want to mention to you. What about the law of David? You say, preacher, what do you mean the law of David? And by the way, I'm talking now particularly about those that would love to be in church, that would love to be busy, but can't, because of physical reasons. What about the law of David? Now think about this. Back in the days of King David, David was a man of war. David was a man that was in conflict with people all the time. Some of the people could go forward and fight because they were able. But some had to stay behind because they were weary. And because they were sick, they couldn't go. They just couldn't be a part of the army. They had to stay behind. Now the law of David, here's how it breaks down. There were people that complained. They said it's not right. It's not right for those people that stay behind. It's not right for them to receive spoils of war, because they're not involved in engagement with the enemy. They have to stay behind. But yet, they're enjoying the spoils of the war. It's not right. Well, what about this passage? The Bible says, as his part is that goeth down to battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And if so, from that day forward, that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel. David made provision. David said those that couldn't go because they quite frankly were not able, David said they remain behind, but they receive a portion of that spoil. Here's my point. God knows this morning where we are. God knows our heart. God knows our limitations. God knows those that are not able to be here this morning. God knows those that are physically impaired. But my friend, as long as there's breath in your lungs, you can serve the Lord. It's not necessarily always having to be in church. Though we know that when we're well and able, that's where we ought to be when the service time rolls around. But those that are beating themselves up and saying, I just can't be there because I'm too sick. Let me tell you this morning, according to the Word of God, you still will be reaping a portion of the spoils. You just serve the Lord. You do the best you can. You keep loving God. You keep a good heart. And God is pleased in that. If you can't be on the front lines, you can't help it. But you would if you could. And that's the thing that I believe is of a great interest. I believe you'll share in the spoil. So be encouraged by that. I think this morning a servant's attitude is a key to encouragement. David chose to serve. In fact, read Psalms. Here's what you'll notice. The Psalms start out, most of them, David, a servant of God. David was a king, wasn't he? David had some David had some stature. David was a mighty man. But David chose to put the preface before his name, servant. Servant of God. I believe that's important. You see, here's what I love. I was thinking about this week studying. God knows the difference between I can't and I won't and I would. God knows the difference. Attitude and motive are keys to service. May I say this morning that it's not the matter of a bunch of activity that always proves great spirituality. There's a lot of people that are doing a lot of things, but my friend, if motive is not right, if we're not doing it for the right reason, then hey, you're in trouble and don't realize it. Let me give you an example. You know about Judas, don't you? Judas was one of the disciples, wasn't he? You know Judas. Do you know we have every reason to believe that Judas went out preaching? Judas went out serving. Judas was along with the 12 doing what the 12 did. Judas went out. And I mean a lot of things were happening. Casting out demons. Preaching the gospel. Yet Judas was a son of perdition and was lost forever. That's pretty sobering, isn't it? Thank God this morning I'm glad for people that are busy serving the Lord, but let's always stop from time to time and ask ourselves, why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it because I love the Lord? That's the greatest reason. But don't be discouraged. Because you're physically unable to do what you used to do, God knows your situation. Could I give you a good verse? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Understand this morning, and I know that I'm preaching to many of aged folks in this congregation. Understand this morning that you have been blessed. God's been good to you. He's given you many years of good life. You've had respect. You have respect. And you're giving it the best shot based upon your ability. And God knows where you are. He knows your address. He knows your situation. And I'm telling you, you're still being blessed. And it's not the fact of a lot of activity and doing a lot of things like you used to do. Just keep on loving God. Keep on praying for the church. Keep on praying for the preacher. Keep on doing the things you can do. And my friend, God is pleased in that. And I needed to tell you that. Some people say, I just can't do what I used to do. Well, thank God you've lived as long as you have and you've reached the point where you can say that. Think about that. You can actually say that. Some people can't say that. So be encouraged. And here's another thought. Whatever we do, regardless of how little, if done for the right reason, that'll still result in a reward. There's a passage of Scripture that says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. Amen. Down through the years as a pastor, I've seen people in the churches I've pastored, many of them to get very sick. We've lost many people. And I've seen people that used to run fast and used to have a lot of strength have physical problems and get to the place where they can no longer do what they used to do. But I think of many of them, and there's one person who comes to mind right now that I'm going to mention in just a moment. I think of the many, though, that I've known. When they reach a place in their life to where they can't function like they used to function, they still maintain one thing that is critically important, which is most important. You can still see the love of God written across their face. You can still see compassion. You can still see a concern. You can still see genuine Christianity. Now, let me mention a name that you folks that have been around here a long time remember well, Melissa Smith. Melissa Smith. I was thinking of her this past week. Melissa had to carry oxygen with her all the time, the last days of her life. She was confined to a wheelchair. Melissa was a diabetic, and Melissa had COPD. Melissa died, I think it was in her mid-40s. Everyone here loved her. Melissa loved the Lord. She gave Him her best, even though she struggled. Melissa had a keen sense of humor. That was encouragement to all of us that knew her. She had a sense of humor, and also at the same time, she wouldn't quit. You could joke with her. She would take it right, and she'd brighten your day. I remember one time joking with her. We were a group of us. We took a trip down to Bass Pro down in Concord. We were loading up on the van. And I can still remember a Sister Melissa Smith. She had a buku of oxygen tanks with her. I mean, she had several that day. And they were getting her into the van and loading those up. Several tanks of oxygen, which she had to have, of course. And I looked at Melissa, and I'll never forget this. And I said, Melissa, you must be planning on doing a lot of breathing today. She laughed. She joked about it. And that was the kind of person she was. She'd stand up, her and Carol used to sing that song, He's More Than Wonderful. Wonderful. And I can still remember her standing up here singing. And in the condition she was in, that everyone that heard her sing were blessed because it came from her heart. In her last days, she didn't have quite the volume she used to have, but she still had the heart. And I'll tell you, that's what it's all about this morning. Even in our limitations, if you'll keep a tender heart, if you'll keep loving the Lord, if you'll keep serving God with the best of your ability, God will keep blessing you. And you will be an encouragement to other people. Did you know we go through things in life that we might share with others and help others with? We suffer in order that we can comfort others that suffer. We go through problems in our life that we're able to help others that have problems. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4 says, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Do you realize this morning that problems and troubles give us an edge? Because we understand those problems. And then we can start comforting and encouraging because we can tell the people that are suffering, we can say, I know that God's going to deliver you because He brought me through it. That's what I'm talking about this morning. There's an Old Testament character by the name of Jabez. He was more honorable than his brethren, the Bible says. He was a child of his mother's sorrow, and he prayed this prayer. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. That's what I'm talking about. Here's my basic point this morning. To be encouraged, we must be willing to encourage others. I'm saying while we're in the line of duty, as we get involved, as we lift up, as we encourage, as we're blessing the other people, it comes back on us. But if we sit around and mope and look in a mirror and count our woes instead of our blessings and focus on our problems and draw up in our own little world, we're missing a blessing. Here's another point. When we encourage others, we're encouraged in the process. There's a historical event that took place, the siege of Gibraltar. A fleet surrounded the people there and the governor. They were on a high pinnacle in a fortified position. They were besieged, but the governor of Gibraltar, he fired red-hot shot down on the enemy. But here's how it worked. Those that couldn't fire the shot heeded the shot. They heeded the shot. The point is, those that heeded the shot were as important as those that fired the shot. I think of firing the gospel guns as a preacher. I think of standing here in the pulpit and preaching. I think of firing the gospel guns. But I'll tell you, the shot is kept hot through your earnest prayer. The shot is kept hot through the prayers of God's people. I couldn't even imagine a preacher of a church ever entering the pulpit without the people of God in that church praying for the preacher. That God would bless him. That God would bless the preaching of the Word of God. This pulpit is a place where no man stands alone. As we fire the gospel gun, somebody needs to heat the shot. And you're encouraged in the process because you're reaping the benefit of the spoils when God is blessing. Don't you love Luke 6:38? And by the way, if you can't fire the guns, heat the shot. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure you meet, withal it shall be measured unto you again. You want to be encouraged? You encourage, and it'll come back to you. Then I would mention this morning. Here's a point that is noteworthy when we think of encouragement. Here it is. We're only responsible to work with what God gave us. We're only responsible to work with what God gave us. In our church, some are multi-talented. Some are less talented. Some have certain abilities that others don't have. I think of the fact of the talents in the New Testament. Has it ever struck you somewhat funny that the person that had the one talent was the one that did the hiding? The one that had that one talent, he hid it under the bushel. I really never thought a whole lot about that until I got to studying that for this message today. There is a temptation on the part of those that look at themselves and say, I can't do anything because I don't have the ability and I've only got the one talent. It's that type of a person many times is more tempted to hide the one that they do have than the others. Kind of strange, isn't it? But you see, God does not hold us accountable to what we don't have. If the Lord only gives you one talent, He does expect you to make the same interest upon it as the man that has the five talents would be expected to draw interest on it. You see, it's not the matter of how many talents you have. It's a matter of being faithful with what you do have. You see, in our church here, I'm not going to be held accountable for failures in the area of music because I'm not a musician. Or I'm not going to be held accountable for failures in areas of ministry and talent, abilities that you folks have that I don't have. But I am going to be held accountable to minister in the area of the gifts that I believe that God gave me by His grace. I am going to be responsible there. And so when it's all said and done, the person sitting in a church that beats themselves up continually and says, I'm a little nobody, I have nothing to offer. Everybody has at least one talent. Just develop the one. And in the end, you'll be blessed. That's how that works. We have nothing to consecrate to Him except the gift that God gave us to start with. We're all weak. But the point is, it's not by might nor by power, but by Thy Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's God that has to do it. Let me hurry. Another point. Christian growth and usefulness includes trials and problems. You know that? Christian growth and usefulness includes trials and problems. We have to have problems to properly grow. The biggest diamonds are found under the heaviest stones. Difficulties have marked the path of every Bible servant that we ever read about in the Bible. They went through difficulty. Moses suffered tremendously in order to be used of God. Nehemiah was constantly being hammered by Sanballat and Tobiah, but he kept on building the wall, and God blessed him. Paul the Apostle was shipwrecked, was beaten, was stoned, was left for dead. But look at how God used him. John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, but he turns around and writes the book of Revelation. I'm telling you, my friend, this morning, if you're being hammered as you faithfully serve the Lord, be encouraged. Because you must be getting the devil's attention. And if everybody speaks well of you, and if everything has gone well, be more weary of that than if you've gone through difficulties as a child of God. I've pretty well come to the place in my life where I think it's more normal to go through difficulties than to slide through life scot-free of problems. We have a lot of good Bible there. Count it all joy when you fall into divers testings, knowing that the trying of our faith worketh patience. A lot of Bible. The trial of our faith is much more precious than gold that perisheth. How are you suffering this morning? How are you suffering? Could I assure you this morning that God knows what you're going through, but if you somehow, some way, will grab a hold of the horns of the altar and learn to trust God through that, then later on down the life you can pull someone aside and you can say to them, God blessed me and brought me through it, and let me encourage you and tell you how you can get through your problems. That's how we're encouraged. Understand the real source of encouragement. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Always think more highly than God saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, than someone walking up to you and patting you on the back and saying, well done. Start honoring God's well done more than man's well done, and we'll make it a whole lot better. And then, finally, here it is. Keep sowing, keep serving, and leave the rest to God. God does not hold us accountable for results, but He does hold us accountable to keep sowing and serving. It's the Lord that has to give the increase. Charles Spurgeon said this, and I'm done. To bring souls to Christ is my main endeavor, but it is not the ultimate proof of my ministry. My business is to live for God, to lay aside self, and give myself up wholly to Him. And if I do that, I shall be accepted, whatever else may happen. My friend, this morning, encourage yourself in the Lord. and then start encouraging others, and it'll come back to you. You'll be blessed in the process. Let's bow our heads in prayer.